I'm David Delegator. The Cincinnati Art Museum has had a recent history of displaying iconic automobiles, reflecting both utilitarian objects and objects of desire. This is not about the semiotics of cars, but they're an American drug. And when we see an unfamiliar one, some synapse fires, and we're compelled to investigate who we once were or might have become. On the museum's first floor, we turn a corner, as if heading to the cafe, and are drawn to approach this season's model, the 1951 Crosley Supersport. The car's creator, Pal Crosley, is a familiar figure to many of us. Owner of the Cincinnati Reds and of WLWAM, he was, above all else, a democratic visionary whose well-engineered industrial products, like radios, refrigerators, and televisions, were made with the intent of being affordable to the masses. The first Crosley automobile, produced in 1939, had a price tag of $350. In its lack of pretension, the Supersport had little in common with other against-all-odds car guys like Preston Tucker. Whereas Tucker's vision was of a hefty but streamlined proto-Batmobile, the Crosley Supersport makes you think more of an early Austin Healey or perhaps MGTD. The car displayed here, a three-seater, has a red body and black detachable ragtop that could be undone by unsnapping it from the body and windshield. It had a 44 cubic inch cast iron engine that produced 26.5 horsepower. Crosley referred to it as America's first sports car, and it was manufactured in Indiana. This was a car made for fun and had its share of bizarre design elements. For instance, this version of the Supersport had no windows. There were also no outside door handles or locks, so you either had to step up and over the low-slung door or reach in and open it from the inside. The tiny freestanding rear gas tank was fed by a steel tube that jutted about 8 inches above the left rear quarter panel. The driver's side mirror was bolted to the windshield rather than to the body itself. And for repairs, or to add oil or water, and reach the engine itself, you had to unlock a small trap door that sat dead center on top of the hood. With its shiny stainless steel bumpers, it was also the first car with four-wheel disc brakes. It came with a radio whose antenna was bolted to the fender, matching side air vents and bug-eyed headlamps, a sleek profile and a speedometer topping 70 told you this was not mom-and-pop's pompous bloated family sedan. It begged for a hilly road, for sharp curves and the sun beating down. What happened to the Crosley is complicated. The economics of the auto business were changing. World War II was over, the economy was starting to boom, families were expanding, and people were anxious to treat themselves to bigger, more luxurious cars. By the late 1950s, a new species of auto, the land yacht, had invaded the landscape. And for the people who wanted sleek and fast, sporty, sexy, and self-indulgent, mid-decade brought in the big boys. Chevrolet and Ford with their sleek and muscular Corvettes and Thunderbirds. There was a need for the car for every man, but the sun had set on the Crosley. It was an idea like the Dr. John song goes, there, at the right place, but the wrong time. Still, the name and the brand made an indelible impression on our lives here. You can see one of Pal Crosley's most valiant efforts, the Crosley Supersport, at the Cincinnati Art Museum through August 25th. For Around Cincinnati, I'm David Delegator.
I'm driving in my car. Turn on the radio. I'm pulling you close. But you just say no. You say you don't like it. Well, girl, I know you're a liar. 'Cause when we kissed,